Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Crowd, and in this show, we're going to discuss IAS best practices. I've been in the industry for over 20 years. I've done consulting and teaching for the government, United States Air Force, the Navy, Marines, Army, and companies around the world. If you want more information about me, check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions, please use the question comment box below. Let's get started. So IAS is the basis of call accounting within a routing remote access environment. And in this broadcast, we're going to look at the best practices for implementing and configuring IAS. Now, let's look at the installation. Before installing IAS, you want to install and test each of the access services using the local authentication methods for making the RADIUS clients, because IAS is the RADIUS. And what RADIUS is used for is authentication and call accounting, so we can create reports based on user usage and so forth, so we can bill for like an ISP and so forth. After you install and configure IAS, save the configuration by using the netsh, AAAA, show config, slot, and then pipe it so it's a greater than sign, path, and the text name. Do not install Windows Server 2003 Standard Edition, Enterprise Edition, or Data Center Edition on the same partition as Windows 2000. These operating systems use common files in the system root programs file folder to access the IAS database. If you decide to install Windows Server 2003 Standard, Enterprise, or Data Center on the same partition as Windows 2000, IAS and Windows 2000 can no longer access the remote access policies for remote access logging. Do not configure a server running IAS or routing remote access and Windows Server 2003 as a member of a Windows NT Server 4.0 domain if you're a Accounts database is stored on a Windows 2003 domain controller in another domain. Doing this will cause the LDAP queries from the IAS server to the Windows 2003 domain controller to fail. Instead, what you should do is configure your server running IAS or routing remote access and Windows Server 2003 as a member of the Windows Server 2003 domain. You can also configure a server running IAS and 2003 as a proxy server that forwards authentication and accounting requests to another server running IAS and a Windows Server 2003 that can access the user accounts database on a Windows 2003 domain controller. Let's take a look at the security issues. When you're administering an IAS server remotely, do not send sensitive or confidential information, example, shared secrets or passwords over the network in plain text. There are two recommended methods. Use terminal services to access the IAS. So what you're going to do is use a remote desktop for administration, and this will allow you to be able to access the IAS server and configure it, and it'll also be protected with 128-bit encryption with the remote desktop connection. The other thing is that you could use IPsec to encrypt the confidential information. And by doing this, you'll protect the communication, encrypt the communication between the IAS server and a remote client. In order to administer the server remotely, Windows Server 2003 administration tools pack must be installed on the client computer, and the IAS snap-in must be added to the Microsoft Management Console. Your IAS server provides authentication, authorization, and accounting for connection attempts to your organization's network. You can protect your IAS and RADIUS messages from unwanted internal and external intrusion by using IPsec. Use the runAS command to administer local IAS servers. So what we want to do here is we want to log on with the least permissions. And by doing this, then we can limit what's going on. So we can do a shift and right click on the IIS and run as. And so we're just limit the permissions and the access. So you can use the run as to perform administrative tasks when you're logged on as a member of a group that does not have required administrative permissions. And logging on to your server without administrative credentials is recommended because it protects the computer from a variety of possible attacks, such as accidental installation of a computer virus. Now, also, we can set up logging. There's actually two types of logging in IIS. Event logging for IIS, you can use the event logging to record IIS events in the system event log. And this is used primarily for auditing and troubleshooting connection attempts. And then logging user authentication accounting requests. You can log user authentication accounting requests to log files in a text format for the database format, or you can log to a stored procedure in a SQL Server 2000 database. Request logging is used primarily for connection analysis and billing purposes. It is also useful as a security investigation tool, providing you with a method of tracking down the activity of an attacker. To make the most effective use of IIS logging, turn on logging initially for both authentication and counting, and then modify these selections after you have determined what is appropriate for your environment. You also want to ensure that event logging is configured with the capacity that's sufficient to maintain your logs. Back up all your logs on a regular basis, since they cannot be recreated when they are damaged or deleted. Use the Radius class attribute to both track usage and simplify the identification of which department or user to charge for usage. Although the automatically generated class attribute is unique for each request, duplicate records might exist in cases where the reply of an access server is lost and request is resent. You also might need to delete duplicate requests from your logs to accurately track the usage. To allow for failover of the SQL Server logging, place two computers running SQL Server on different subnets. Use the SQL Server Create Publication Wizard to set up a database replication between the two servers. You can use IIS parse.exe tool, which is part of the support tools on a Windows Server 2003 Standard Edition, Enterprise, or Data Center Compact CD. Perform tuning of IIS. Optimize IIS authentication authorization response times. You want to minimize the network traffic so you can install IIS on a domain controller. When the UPNs, which is Universal Principal Names, or Windows Server 2003 domains are used, IIS uses a global catalog to authenticate users. Minimize the time. Install IIS either on a global catalog or a server that's on the same subnet. When you have remote Radius server groups configured and in IIS connection request policy, you can clear the record accounting information on the server and the following remote Radius server group checkbox. These groups are still sent across the network or sent network access server, start and stop notifications messages. This creates unnecessary network traffic. To eliminate this, disable the stop notification of the server's checkbox. If you're going to be using IIS in a large organization, if you're going to be using a remote access policy to restrict, create a universal policy for all the users for whom you want to allow access, and then create a remote access policy that grants access to the universal group. Do not put all the users directly into the universal group, especially if you have a large number in the network, because what this does is this has to update the global catalog, so it's going to cause additional traffic. Use a user principal name to refer to the user whenever possible. The user can have the same user principal name regardless of the domain membership, and this practice provides scalability. If you have a IS that's on a computer, other than a domain controller, and it's receiving a large number of authentication requests per second, they can improve their performance in increasing the number of concurrent authentications. What you do is you go into edit the registry, and you're going to go H key, local machine, system, current control set, services, net log on, and parameters, and you're going to add a new value, which is max current concurrent API. And you're going to assign a value from 2 through 5. Now, one of the things that you want to keep in mind is that if you don't modify the registry correctly, then what you can do is you can corrupt it. So you want to be very careful on this. And you should back up the data on the computer. And the way you can do that, you can use the system state data that's going to back up the registry. Now, if you place a value that's too high in the max current API, this might place an excessive load on your domain controller. To effectively balance the load of a large number of authorizations or a large amount of radius authentication traffic, install IIS on a radius server on all of your domain controllers, and next configure two or more to forward authentications between the access servers. You can configure IIS and Windows Server 2003 Standard Edition with a maximum of 50 clients and a maximum of two remote radius server groups. You can define a radius clients using a fully qualified domain name or an IP address, but cannot define the groups of radius by specifying IP address rate. Range. If the fully qualified domain name of a radius client resolves a multiple IP address, then it's going to use the first one. With IIS and Windows Server 2003 Enterprise, you can configure an unlimited number of radius clients and remote radius server groups. So we talked about IIS best practices. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can put them in the GoGo box below. You can also find more of my broadcasts, just search the GoGo website. If you have an idea for a show, then let us know by putting the information in the GoGo box. It's been a pleasure speaking to you about technology. Thank you for letting me into your world. Have a great day, and bye-bye for now.